We're going to start with Nadia Wepe, who's with us, and your first story, Nadia.
Okay, this is a story, just they've written about living in Dubai and Arabic being a part of everyday life here to a degree. Why wouldn't you teach your child Arabic? But the reason I like this story was really the last line.
Where did you find this?
This is in Mother and Baby and
Mother
Child.
And Baby. Right. Mm-hmm.
The last line, which she says, share that power to your child now. And basically that's, you know, I relate to that, and not just about Arabic, but we don't know, if you look at who your neighbor is in Dubai, I can put money on it that they're not from the same place you are. And how close do we get to these people? How often do we talk to people about where they're from and what their languages are like and who they are? And I think the power of living in Dubai as an expat, you have all these people around. Why don't you take the opportunity and teach your children different languages, be it Arabic or English or Urdu or French, but take that opportunity because it is becoming available. Mm. And what they're saying in this article is that if you do speak Arabic, you have an edge when you go out in the workforce because it's
Definitely.
Wanted. And it's not the same in the UAE if you're working with someone and they know Arabic and you don't. And that's where it started. The lady said, I felt it. I could see they have an edge over me
Definitely.
Because they can speak Arabic. So why wouldn't you do it young? You know you're an expat. You know you're going to be here for a while. Why don't you teach them?
Don't all the schools have it, though, as part of the curriculum?
They do.
They
have it from five. Yeah. From five, yeah.
From 5 years.
But I think there's a few issues about how it's taught. I mean, this is just from general conversations with friends of mine who have children who have sort of raised their concerns, so to speak, about how the language is being taught, and also the fact that they increased recently a number of schools, the number of hours of Arabic classes to the detriment of other subjects. And that also again raised concern because one lady in particular was like, you know, my son's been learning Arabic for I don't know how many years, and he can't say a single sentence. He can't string it together. And I think this is where, it's not the fact that they're learning Arabic that I think they would welcome that. It's the fact that how relevant is it being, because it's also, as I said, taking time away from other, perhaps more key subjects that they feel would be, yeah. you know, better for them in their long term.
I agree. There's many, we can go into depth and have a whole show on justice, so
yeah.
we won't do that. But
yeah.
I think, like, for example, for me, when I started Baby Arabia, was to bring the mother in with the child in a very playful activity group where we do things in phonetics as well and we repeat a lot. Because if the parents can't speak a word of Arabic and they're not interested, there's no way that child is going to be able to manage on his own either. You know what I mean? So a little bit, it has to start all around. The principal of the school, who's been in Dubai for 20 years, let's just say he's a British person and can't say five words in Arabic. It goes down. So I think it's about all of us embracing the cultures we live around. And it's not about saying you will learn and you have to learn. It's about loving it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about saying, wow, did you see what the neighbor said? They use this word. We don't know.
No, you're absolutely right.
And that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about, you know, trying to embrace rather than reject,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's true, there has been many problems with teaching Arabic in the schools. And
but I think what's quite interesting, I mean, I'm completely guilty. I've been to many lessons. I went to the ones at the Trade Center, loved the classes. Unfortunately, I don't speak it either, and I've been here for many, many years, and that's shame on me, really. But I do find that more and more so, take for example this morning, I haven't heard a single word of Arabic.
Right.
Yesterday, I don't think I heard a single word of Arabic either. And that's maybe just the environment that I'm in. But it's very rare you even hear Arabic, you know, unless you're working within an environment, which we don't hear, particularly at this office.
You mean rare you hear it within what? Working environments?
Working, even any other interactions.
Well, I have a friend of mine who's a food stylist, and she joined Baby Arabia a year ago with her twins. And she's just, she calls me every time she has the opportunity where she's caught a word or she asks them, what does it mean? But because she started and she embraced it, she hears it.
Mm.
You see,
she
wants to. So the other day she was saying to me, what is adi? What's when something's normal, Nadia? And I said, adi. And she goes, yes, that's what they said, adi.
Ah.
Because they were saying that the food was adi.
Right.
And she turned around and said, what's adi? And they all stopped and looked at her and they're like, oh, why are you asking? You see, so
yeah.
she picked up a lot, and from her own then she wanted to learn, and she works with many cultures.
Yeah, I think languages are, okay, I think you can absorb them in some ways just through your life, but they're, you have to be proactive to learn a language.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I mean, I had the chance to travel in different countries before coming to the UAE, and I spent, for example, 3 years in Czech Republic. And the language there is also very complicated to get, but it's the same example that Nadia was saying. I was taking the tramway every morning to go to work, and I was picking up one word, and then I go to the workspace, and I was asking a local person, say, what does it mean? I think it's just this. You need to be, as you just mentioned, also proactive. I mean, if you're surrounded in a very international environment where potentially you can't hear Arabic, well, I don't know, maybe you try to open up the ears a bit more, and then when you walk in the street or in the shop, and then you try to pick up a word or two. And I think this is also very interesting. I had the chance as well when I came here to start to work in Abu Dhabi, and my colleagues were mainly Emiratis, so they were very kind with me because obviously they speak majority in English, but from time to time they had these instinctive answers like Hadi, for example. So you picked up that word and say, what does it mean, you know, or some other words. And then now when I'm listening to these words, I suddenly think back about where
you can remember them. No, it's fair enough. And I think I think it is important. I would say I'm all for learning languages. I think it's a wonderful
skill. It's a very funny game.
And not to look at it that seriously, though, Siobhan. I mean, you've got a busy life. You've got a child now, you know. I think the point is, when I say embrace it, is you don't have to learn it. You don't have to learn it in Dubai. You don't need it to live in Dubai. But what would be nice is if you did just learn a few words, and then you use them when you can. The encouragement will allow you to learn a few more words. And just have fun with it, like khalas, yalla. You know, all the ladies people in Baby Arabia use that all the time now. Khalas, yalla, come on, you know.
But people, people do use those kind of, you know, top line words. There's almost a vocabulary of 10 words that we would all be able to use. But I think this landscape makes us all kind of insular, because I have to say that when I think back to working environments, the first few years that I was here, I worked in agencies where the majority of the staff were Lebanese, so it was always Arabic. I didn't ever feel left out because I knew that work was being discussed and whatever had to be translated would be translated. But over the past few years, although I'm working with Arabs, a lot of the time, we're all talking in English.
I
think it's amazing that they wouldn't ever actually say, hang on a minute, let's speak our language. I think it's really big of them not to do it. I mean, the last time I was in France, it's the usual
France
story.
Is a bit different.
But it is the usual story. I'm sorry, Cyril. The woman refused to kind of enter into a conversation in English, and I'm trying to ask her for breadcrumbs.
Why not?
And I'm like, le pain vieille. I'm
not like, old bread.
Je dois gratiner. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
What is the word for breadcrumbs?
Sorry?
What is the word for breadcrumbs?
Les miettes.
Oh, wow.
The what is it?
Miette.
Miette. Okay, that's not the word. She told me it was chevelure or something.
Ah, chapelure as well.
Chapelure, that was it.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I've never heard that before.
That was it. But I have to say, what I find really interesting now is I'm sitting at a table with people, with Arabs, we're at work, and they start speaking to me in Arabic. They've seen me for so long.
Because English is the first language. I mean, you know, I just had a comment the other day. This lady was saying she was listening to this couple talk to their children in very heavily accented wrong English. They were Arabs, and they spoke to their children and insisted that they kept speaking to their children in English, and then they would turn around and speak to each other in Arabic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Mm. There's such a problem with Arab kids not speaking Arabic.
Well, during this first job, as I mentioned earlier on, all my colleagues were speaking in English with everyone. I mean, all the expat group, and as soon as they were talking specifically 100% Arabic, we knew that they wanted to gossip about something.
So
we were looking at them and say, you want to hide something right now? Why?
Okay.
Oh, no, not necessarily. That's an escape route as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
We must go to our next break, but just before we do, a nice message from Adil, who says, I fully agree, let our kids learn as many languages as possible. But they're going to say that one never knows when they would need it. It's so disappointing to know that kids who academically learn a language are not able to speak or frame sentences. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, and it is a show, I think, in itself about learning languages, how they're taught, and the application.
Playing in languages, playing. I like to use the word, play.
I do love that. I do love that.
The more we play, the more we pick up, you know, even as adults. And that's what I do. I play in Arabic. I don't teach Arabic.
We're all embarrassed, though, to make mistakes, which is why we possibly won't play with it. Exactly, not to be embarrassed.
It's not your mother tongue, so you're allowed to do mistakes.